Hey, I'm the guy with 18. That's not so shabby.
No, you've been creeping.
There we go. Gotcha.
Cool.
Why are there two of them from the? You know, I can't begin to care.
Because. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Usually it's one, and then we tweet it from the other one.
And there's zero for the process show, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, there's actually two from both accounts.
Yeah. Just in case you missed the first one.
Take your pick.
Yeah.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the awesomeo.com NBA strategy show presented by No House Advantage. I am Dave Lochran at Lofy underscore D on the Twitters. That's LOUGHY underscore D. Give your boy a follow along with Josh Engelman at Josh Engelman. Very simple one. Not so simple a man. What's going on, fella?
Not too much, man. Missed you yesterday. I got to do an actual good show with Adam, though, so it was a little bit of a help out to everybody that normally watches.
I'll take the first part of that as a compliment and completely forget you said the second part.
That's fair. I would do the same thing.
Yeah, I think you would. We got a lot to talk about. Only five games, though, and happy to have you guys with us as always. So smash that thumbs up, hit the subscribe and the notification bell if you haven't done so yet. By the way, Josh, pretty exciting news. If people always asked me, where can I get the awesome? This is, by the way, this is not a sales pitch. I don't give a shit if you buy it. I'm being completely honest with you. I don't, but so many people have asked me where to buy this hat, right?
Yeah.
I love this hat. And I would always be like, well, it's down in the description. But because I have YouTube Premium, I just assumed that it was technically considered an ad, so it wouldn't work, right?
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case. Jake D, guy that does a ton of stuff behind the scenes, was like, hey, I figured out what was going on. And boom, now, if you look, all of our stuff is down there, including the Awesome-O hat. So we finally got it in the description. Pretty stoked about that.
That is pretty sick. It is a good hat. I'm a fan.
It is. I'm going to grab a sweatshirt too. So, thanks, Steven. Glad to be back. Took a day off. Needed it. Got this 7-week-old kid. You know, it's been rough. But I'm happy to be back doing a 5-game slate. And I'm very happy that it's not a 12-gamer, although we'll have that tomorrow. So
yeah. Oh, God, it's going to be rough. Yeah, you needed the day off Monday. I went and got another IV on Sunday, get myself nice and hydrated off of a rough Saturday. We had different weekends.
Go. There you go. I will say I had one good day this week. The impromptu neighborhood get-togethers are the best thing in the world because just started, you know, my buddy comes over the fence. We're talking, you know, throw him a beer. And then 20 minutes later, he's like, hey, you care if I come on the other side of the fence? Because we're on the patio. Sitting there, sure. And then the other neighbor shows up and then the other one shows up. And by the time you know it, you know, it's a full-blown fiesta.
Got a bit of a party going on.
Yeah, why not? We're outdoors, right?
Yeah, I had an outdoor get-together as well. Hey, look, I'm vaccinated. I'll lick every stranger on the face if I have to.
That sounds wise. But anyway, the 5-game slate we have today, it seems pretty – it's not very daunting when you see 5 games. But then you look and you're like, all right, Harden is obviously still out. There's no Kevin Durant. There's no Damian Lillard. There are a lot of – relatively big name players missing from this small slate.
Yeah. And it's actually like a pretty good slate, all things considered. I liked working through it. You get to a lot of, I don't want to say stars, but like semi-stars that are in really favorable spots. And a lot of these guys are now playing north of 36 minutes. It's actually a pretty fun slate. I'm excited now. I assume 15 different guys will get ruled out at 6:45 and I'll hate it. But for now, seems interesting.
Let's take a look at lineup study before we dive into any of this. We actually have some time today. We're not pressed. No. Anything big happened yesterday? Any big winners? We'll get to the Hall of Fame segment later where you have a couple huge ones that we've been seeing throughout the past couple of weeks or last week since we've started doing this. But first, let's see who did well, who didn't do quite as well in Fantasy Cruncher over on lineup study from Monday's slate.
Utacow and Jedabisk went 1-2. So the 150 maxers fly supreme there. Although, if I do slide over here, I want to make sure that I don't get this wrong because I thought somebody said it, but maybe it was FanDuel and I don't know. I thought RINPAC did something positively. I thought somebody mentioned it. It could have been baseball as well, so I don't know for sure. But anyway, in the 150 max, 325K titles, 100K to first, 4DK last night. Went to a pro and a highly ranked one at that. Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson, Sadiq Bey, Andre Iguodala, which was the key piece for last night. Joel Embiid, Ja Morant going for 72.5 points in
that's more than he has,
minutes.
That's more than he has on the month combined.
Made me feel good that touting him finally worked. Tillman went for 45, and then Nikola Jokic went for 78.75. Just an absolute monster number. You got there with Jokic and Embiid in the combo. Nikola Jokic was 20 of 31 from the field last night. 47 points, 15 boards, and 8 assists.
Incredible.
Get that man an MVP trophy.
And Ben Simmons basically had a normal performance. It's pretty much the same thing as he does every game.
Yeah. Zero.
That I know you said you were flustered on Live Before Lock last night.
Dude, it just didn't stop. I wish that, like, I guess I could probably scroll back into TweetDeck and see, like, all of the news that was coming out. But it was just a tire fire over and over and over again. Like, Marcus Smart, who we all thought was in and became, like, a decent play, got ruled out at 6:55, which was, you know, super fun. Ben Simmons got ruled out at, let's see, what was the specific time? 6:49. So, like, the moment you get that news, you're like, oh, damn, I got to make all these changes. Let's start another crunch. 6:55 hits, and it's like, oh, cool, Marcus Smart in his 36 minutes, gone. But it just kept being that over and over and over again. Every 5 minutes, the moment you would get yourself started on whatever happened the previous time, it immediately got thrown in the garbage.
It's so tough when you're doing a Live Before Lock show like that. It really is, especially if you're 150 maxing. And you just, there's a point where you don't really have any other options. You can't, you know, when you have 5 minutes, unless you're running super quick crunches, even if you're not on a show, if you only have 5 minutes, it's not easy.
You have two options. Hope that whatever comes out of your crunch is good enough for you. Or you have a dummy lineup that doesn't include the first set of games and you just punt it entirely and fix it afterwards.
Because it's not just like you have to rerun. You have to make the adjustment.
Yeah, and, like, major things are changing here. And, like, it's a trickle-down effect. But, like, Marcus Smart went from having Kemba Walker out and becoming, like, a decent play to just being out. Peyton Pritchard moves into the starting lineup, who nobody's expecting. So you create this new value. All the Miami information comes out. Like, Jimmy Butler gets ruled out. So then Kendrick Nunn starts looking good. Then Tyler Hero's out. So Kendrick Nunn looks good. And Goran Dragic looks good. Then we have all this Indiana news where Miles Turner gets ruled out and he's hurt. But we still don't know all the rest of the news. Then the one guy that was questionable to start the day, McBuckets, is the only guy from the Pacers that actually ends up playing. Everybody else gets ruled out. It was a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, the winning lineup had three Miami Heat, and neither of them – it was Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson, and Andre Iguodala. You
know, yeah, I missed out on that Andre Iguodala game, man. I didn't expect him to go 16-7-6 with four stocks at a minimum salary.
It's just as stars and scrubs as you can get. Yeah. It really is. Like, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, and then Ja Morant with the highest – second highest score because Jokic once again popped off. But, yeah, so – there you have it, Udicale, very good player, so it's not a surprise to see him get the win. But it sounded like a very tough slate. So let's jump into this one. Orlando and Atlanta, the Orlando Magic, are 12-point dogs against the Atlanta Hawks, 219 total. No Terrence Ross, no Otto Porter Jr., no James Ennis, no Michael Carter-Williams. So, yeah, they're already a team that's been decimated by injuries. Since the trade deadline, they've been a non-factor. I mean, just getting bowled over no matter who faces them. 12-point dogs against the Atlanta Hawks. Now, Josh, I know that we all know this. You guys watching this, everyone knows that bad teams don't always make for bad fantasy teams. But the teams that have been bad for a long time and everyone eventually becomes priced correctly, then it gets a little bit different. So how much difference does it make with Terrence Ross being out today, Ennis, and Carter Williams still sidelined? Does it throw anyone into the mix that hasn't been there over the past couple of weeks?
So Cole Anthony, I think, is still underpriced for his role. He should start, get a usage bump, and really just run everything for Orlando if he can. So I think that Cole Anthony, 5,600 on FanDuel, 6K on DraftKings, is pretty clearly the best option from Orlando. But I think that we could also get to, unfortunately, Dwayne Bacon is 3,800 on FanDuel, 4,200 on DK. He's got the shooting guard small forward eligibility on DraftKings as well. They are the two guys that show up pretty frequently in optimals for me. Dwayne Bacon's not good, 0.75 FanDuel points per minute over the last 30 days, but he does see a bit of a usage bump when everybody else on the team is out. So those are the two guys that I have my eye on. I think Gary Harris, Wendell Carter Jr., Chuma Okeke are viable. They're the guys that should play 30 minutes or more. After that, you're just trying to, I guess, cross your fingers and hope, like, if you wanted to go to RJ Hampton or Mo Bamba, like, I guess you could do it, but I don't see it as particularly viable.
Sorting by just ownership right now, well, I don't think we even have it yet, do we?
No, we do not.
No, we do not. Well, hopefully we get it soon enough and maybe we can revisit some of this. Atlanta side, no Danilo Gallinari, DeAndre Hunter remains out. This guy hasn't played since the 24th of March. So that's nothing new, but he's been ruled out again. Huge favorites. The total's sitting at 219. So not a particularly high total in this game. No. Trey Young and Clint Capella are both priced at a point where, but it was just crazy that Clint Capella is actually more expensive than Trey Young on DraftKings now. But it's warranted. I mean, he's been producing the most, at least reliable numbers on this team. Trae Young, on the other hand, has been kind of all over the map. I think you'd agree with that, Josh. But yeah, he still has the ceiling coming off of 34-11 game, 63 DraftKings points. You get some numbers from him. It's just a matter of whether or not you want to pay for him on a day like this or a day like tonight. You have Towns, you have Randle, you have Irving with no Durant or James Harden. You have De'Aaron Fox, who's legitimately playing 40 minutes in every single competitive game. You have Zion against Brooklyn. There are a lot of good pieces here. You might not have the Lukas, the Giannis's, the Embiid's, the Jokic, but still a lot of good pieces. How does Trae Young fall into all of this for you?
So I think he's a pretty solid priority. Showed up in the optimal north of 20% on FanDuel and DK. The DK 9K price tag looks really good to me. I think that he is basically the same as Cole Anthony and Dwayne Bacon relative to salary, like depending on how you want to work your way up that salary tier. I just think that they should be owned in sort of a similar way. So I do like Trae Young. I think he's the best Atlanta option. You touched on Clint Capella, 1.37 FanDuel points per minute over the last 30 days. That's 0.15 more than Trae Young in that time. The problem is he's properly priced and only center eligible. So you can only fit him into lineup so much. I think he looks good, especially on this slate. He's got a very nice raw point ceiling, but he's not a guy that I am saying is like a lock button by any means. I think he could work through Kevin Huerter and Bogdanovich, but now that we have John Collins back, it gives me a little bit of a pause. Collins is 7,200 on FanDuel. I don't love that price, but I think he's like a 10 to 15%er. I think he looks a little bit better on DK at just 6,500. I just don't know how many minutes he's going to be able to play. So to me, it's Trae Young is on his own tier. And then Capella, Huerter, Bogdanovich, Collins, I think you can rotate through those guys however you want. Although $7,800 Bogdanovich on DraftKings is a bit of a tough sell with Collins back.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to have to press on that a little bit. He did play 37 minutes last game with John Collins active,
yeah,
but Collins only played 21 minutes. And you have to assume that Collins' minutes continue to rise to where he's back around that 30-minute range relatively soon. So I don't necessarily know how much it takes away from Bogdanovich. You still don't have Gallinari. You still don't have Hunter. So I think that's the one thing working in Bogdanovich's favor is that you can still fill minutes that are voided by those two guys. But almost 8K, even if he does get the minutes, you're still talking usage. You're still talking less rebounds. Of course, it's less of an issue with Bogdanovich. There's just a lot there that worries me a little bit, especially on a day where we have a handful of studs that already aren't playing, and it's going to open stuff up for some other mid-range guys.
Yeah, like for Bogdanovich, we have Anthony Edwards on FanDuel at the exact same price, 7,100. I'd rather just get to Anthony Edwards at this point just because of Collins being back. And then on DraftKings, the 7,800 is just a lot. Yeah. You shouldn't have more than like 5% of Bogdanovich.
And that Minnesota game has a total that's almost 240. Sacramento, worst defense in the league, yeah, top 10 pace. There's a lot to like there. And you know, I'm not the biggest Anthony Edwards truther from a DFS standpoint just because players that give me no peripherals can be concerning sometimes once their prices start to rise. But you know, if he's going to come out here and chuck it up 20 plus times, I think I can be okay with that. We'll get
especially
there.
Especially on a five gamer.
Exactly. Yeah. And especially when guys like Bogdanovich are priced where they are. Right. So it makes it a lot more palatable to see where his salary is at.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about Charlotte and New York. The Charlotte Hornets, have given us a lot of value recently just with the amount of injuries. Did you see LaMelo Ball's expected back in around a week?
I know. I really hope that happens so that Anthony Edwards doesn't win the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. That's why, like, futures betting can be so sketchy when it comes to the awards, right? I got lucky enough to cash out of that Joel Embiid MVP the night he got injured. And I cashed out at a nice profit because I think I hit it at plus 500. And then by the time he got hurt, he was plus 175 or something. So
yeah,
I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it. But if I didn't get out of that, you know damn well that it's gone. And with LaMelo, do you think he can still win it?
Minus 250 on DK Sportsbook right now.
Is he still minus 250?
Yeah.
What's Edwards at?
Plus 185.
Okay. Then LaMelo, if he comes back for what, give or take a month?
Yeah.
That's enough. That's got to be enough with the way he's played.
Do you think
because you don't want Edwards to win it, or do you have money on Ball?
Oh, I'm saying that very specifically because I don't want Anthony Edwards to win it.
Okay. Yes. So you're just a bad person that has resentment.
I don't like people that don't deserve things to get things.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
Call me crazy.
No, I'm not. You're not crazy, but that's like literally how Rookie of the Year works almost every year.
I mean, does it?
Michael Carter Williams won Rookie of the Year going away.
Name two other rookies that year.
Okay, who was the Rookie of the Year last year?
I don't remember. Zion, one of the two.
It had to have been Ja.
Ja. Right? Yeah, Ja. Okay, so the last couple rookies.
And look at how much that guy stinks, right?
No. Ja Morant, Luka Doncic, Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Look, the Malcolm Brogdon was like, that was a thing.
Brogdon,
at the time.
There's another one.
But that was, in hindsight, that doesn't look incorrect. Like, Brogdon has had a much better career since winning that Rookie of the Year than I think most people were expecting him to have.
That was Brogdon over Embiid, right? Because Embiid didn't play enough minutes.
Okay. Karl Anthony Towns, Wiggins. And then we get to 2013-14, Michael Carter Williams. So let's find out who else was in that voting.
Oh, it was bad. Wiggins is a pretty rough one, though.
I don't even know how the hell to find this.
You just do 2013 or whatever year it was, draft results.
Yeah, that works.
And you can get it on Basketball Reference or...
Oh, yeah. Well, no wonder you won it.
Who
Anthony
it?
Bennett, Victor Oladipo, Otto Porter, Cody Zeller, Alex Len, Noel, Macklemore, KCP, Trey Burke, CJ McCollum. Like, I mean, Giannis, but obviously Giannis wasn't Giannis at the time.
Okay, so like 12 guys that are better than MCW is what you're saying.
Not really. You're like one?
Oladipo's not better than MCW?
I think Michael Carter Williams might be in the league for the next 5 years, and Victor Oladipo might.
This
not.
Is where you lose the chat. McCollum's not better than.
CJ is, but he wasn't then. Like, CJ didn't even play his rookie year.
Right, but here's what I'm saying. And look, I'm happy to take back what I said about it doesn't matter. Like, it's always that way. But if you're on a bad team and you're just doing everything, it's very possible that you can win the Rookie of the Year. That's all I'm saying. Michael Carter Williams was on an ungodly bad basketball team that year. Horrible, horrible. I think that was the year where they started off like 0-26 or something. I mean,
to be fair, most of these teams are bad. That's why they were picking Anthony Bennett and Victor Oladipo and Otto Porter at the top. They were all terrible.
Yeah, but MCW was what, like the 10th or 12th pick?
It went 11th.
Right.
So in between CJ McCollum and Steven Adams.
Right, so he was bad, but what I mean is that team decided. You remember, that was the Sam Hinkie era, man. I love it. He changed the NBA for good, if you think about it. Like,
absolutely.
You know, and people will never give him the respect he deserves outside of the few Philly truthers, like the Sam Hinkie truthers. I was one of them. I really was. And I'll tell you this much, Josh, then we can get back to the games. Even if it never worked out, right? Even if it never worked out, and maybe even if it never does work out, the process made sense. They were going to be in what I like to call NBA purgatory for years, getting that eighth seed, getting that seventh seed with a 500 record, getting knocked out in the first. Maybe they get through to the second round, and then they're done. They have no chance unless they make moves. So I'm looking at it, and I say, can I give up 3 or 4 years to get lottery picks, maybe first, second, third overall picks for 3 or 4 consecutive years? You're damn right I'm okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a no-brainer. I mean, it was so smart that they changed the lottery odds.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Mr.
That is a really, really ugly first chunk of picks.
Mr. Go Blue says, shall we move on? Well, I guess we shall.
Your you wish is our
command. Charlotte at New York. Like I said, LaMelo Ball expected back, but not today. Devontae Graham questionable. Malik Monk's coming back soon, but not today. So just pretty much the same situation we've had. Maybe Graham plays, maybe he doesn't. I actually want to start with Terry Rozier, though, Josh, because he's coming off some huge games. Minutes are king. Usage is king in basketball. He's played 43, 40, and 39 over his last three. 20-plus field goal attempts in all of them. He's not getting to – I don't know if you've seen his free throw attempts. That is – in. How many, to take a guess, how many free throw attempts has he had over his last five games?
51.
Six. Not 56, six.
You led me in the wrong direction.
Oh, I sure did. That was intentional.
I don't appreciate your ruse, sir.
But, bro, six in his last five games where he's had field goals as a 17, 17, 20, 21, and 24. I hate that. But his assists have been there. He's rebounding well. He's racking up some stocks. I can live with that. But I want to know where you stand on a guy like this who's, you know, crossed the 8K threshold. He's facing a slow-paced New York Knicks team. What do you think?
I don't appreciate the ruse. Yeah, just to piggyback a little bit on his lack of free throws. 92nd percentile in true shooting this year. So even without getting to the line, 1.21 right. points per shot attempt.
He's a good player,
ultra,
man.
Ultra
He's a
efficient.
Good player.
Yeah. Now that he is not cast as what Boston thought he was going to be, like, he's a really good,
he's a good
second
player.
Banana guard. I'm a big fan of Terry Rozier. The contract's looking a lot better.
It's funny. I was going to ask you, when that contract first happened, because I know you're big on contracts. You like digging into that stuff. I'm not as big on it. I usually actually go to you with that. When that first happened, did you think, oh, my God, what have they done?
Well, I didn't understand why they would give that sort of money to Kemba Walker and let – or to Terry Rozier and let Kemba Walker, like, leave for nothing. Like, if you're not willing to pay however many million it is additionally from Rozier to Kemba Walker, like, that's fine. If you don't want to re-up Kemba, that's fine. But the Hornets were stupid and didn't trade Kemba Walker to get any assets. And then they were willing to just give that contract to Terry Rozier. That set of transactions didn't make a lot of sense to me. Terry Rozier is playing really well, justifying the contract. I still don't like the way they went about it, though.
Who would you – just one word answer. Who would you rather have on your team right now, Terry Rozier or Kemba Walker?
It's got to be Terry Rozier, right?
It's got to be. Yep. Yep, 13.4 drives per game over that five-game stretch. So that makes a little sense that he's not getting fouled as much. But the numbers have been there. Can we get to him today?
Yeah, I see. No, I think he's the best play on Charlotte. 7,800 on FanDuel, 8K on DraftKings. And by the way, I'm saying that I think that he's the best play on Charlotte with Devontae Graham in.
I don't think it makes too big a difference, honestly.
I think it does.
Really?
Look, Devontae Graham's going to play 30 minutes and be the point guard if he is in. If not, the keys are just Terry's for the entire time. They're nobody else gets any sort of priority. Devontae Graham sort of does. I'm not saying that it really changes the outlook, but Graham being gone, he's going to shoot a little bit more than the Martin twins.
That's fine. That's fair. I don't have an issue with that. But I'm saying it even if Devontae Graham plays, and I think you were kind of alluding to this as well, it still doesn't mean that Rozier doesn't have viability on a five-game slate. That's what I'm saying. It's not enough for me to say I like him or I hate him.
Yeah, and to be fair, like, I like Terry Rozier today. I don't love him because they're playing the Knicks.
Yeah.
209 total or something like that. It's not even close to any of the other games. Knicks defense has been solid all season, super-duper slow. So it's really hard to find anything from Charlotte that really stands out. You kind of need Graham to be gone to give that boost of minutes to whichever Martin they determined to start and roll the dice and just pick one. They probably don't know who's who. And like, he accidentally started the other one the next time because he had no idea what was going on. Like, you can get to Bridges, you can get to Jalen McDaniels for some value. It's just really hard to find any priorities for Charlotte because of how difficult of a matchup it is for the New York Knicks.
Yeah, it's not a fun matchup at all. Terry Rozier has played only 174 minutes with Graham on the floor and Ball and Gordon Hayward off. 26.1% usage rate. I'm okay with that. 19.1% assist rate, while Graham has 29.5% assist rate. So you're right about that. And fantasy points per minute, Rozier 1.06, Graham 0.99. Of course, I could go back to last year, and that would probably give us a much better idea of what we're looking at. I'd have a lot more minutes with them on, and for obvious reasons, LaMelo Ball and Hayward off. But just this year, that's what you're looking at.
Yeah.
What about the New York Knicks?
What a team, man. What a team. So there's one guy you can play pretty aggressively on FanDuel, and that would be $9,400 Julius Randle, who's playing 38 minutes or more again every single game. He's just smashing. So I will very happily go to Julius Randle. Showed up in the optimal lineup on FanDuel 36% of the time. I'm not as interested in Randle at 10,100 on DK. That's a bit of a tough sell for me. The second guy that I would be going to here would be RJ Barrett, 5,800 on FanDuel, 6,300 on DraftKings. I don't love the $6,300 price tag on DK all that much, but he's still the best Nick to me. Those are really the only two guys that I want to prioritize. I think Noel is okay on DraftKings at 4,500. It's a pretty nice price. I think Derrick Rose at 5,100 on DraftKings is a pretty nice price. We've seen his minutes creeping up just slightly. Even quickly at 3,400, if it's a game where he happens to fall into a couple extra minutes, we know that he's basically a fantasy point per minute guy. Hasn't been as of late, but I think that's what his true talent level is. I think you can get there a little bit on DK just because of the price tag. But Randle and Barrett are the two main pieces for me.
Okay. Would Randle be on FanDuel where you said he's not 10-1? Would he be a priority in this spot?
On FanDuel, yes. To me, he is a priority.
Okay. At the end of the show, I do want to ask you if I can remember, which is probably a good chance I will never ask you this question. But I will ask you, which of the top price guys that you're highest on today on both DraftKings and FanDuel once we get through all of these games? Are we good to move to Brooklyn and New Orleans?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's do it. Before we do, No House Advantage is the sponsor of the Strategy Show. You guys have heard of it. You guys have very likely won money playing over at No House Advantage too. They've taken daily fantasy sports and put a different spin on it by offering peer-to-peer player props in a contest form, so or a tournament-style format. So it's not like you're going over to some of these other books and you're betting singles and you're not able to parlay the props. In a spot like this, you can put eight of your favorite props into a tournament style contest. So like it would be in the event that you're playing on DraftKings, you're putting your players in. But with this, you're putting in your player props, right? The ones that you like the most. They don't change throughout the day based on volume or the amount of bets coming in. None of that. So if they come in the morning, you wait till later in the night. You're looking at other books and saying, okay, there's a huge edge here. There's a huge edge here. I'm getting an advantage on all of these because they don't change. A lot of people don't pay attention to that. There is going to be money to be won here. There's no doubt about it. And a lot of people that have already signed up through us using the promo code AWESOMO when they got their $20 bonus upon signing up and depositing have continued to play there because it's a great place to build your bankroll. And in the ultra competitive DFS space where you've got these 100K to first, 200K, 50K to first, it's hard to win with 150 matchers. The edge is not what it once was. That's for sure. Check out some of these small sites like No House Advantage to build that bankroll and even take some over to the other sites if you want, if you're chasing that huge payday. This is a great way to get started. When you do it, use the promo code AWESOMO, sign up, deposit, get your $20 deposit bonus, and use all of the free tools that we have offered at AWESOMO.com. We have the player props tool specifically for No House Advantage, and we have the optimal lineups tool that we built for No House Advantage as well. Totally free tools. You don't have to pay for a thing. I don't even think you have to sign up for our site to use them, Josh.
So, that I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even think you have to sign up for the site if you're not a premium sub yet. So check it out. Use the promo code AWESOMO. Get your $20. Use our tools and go win some money at No House Advantage when you download the app.
One of my Process Show regulars said he doubled up on No House Advantage last night. I was like, that's the way to do it, baby. Use the tools.
And you keep moving. You keep doubling up. You keep doubling up. Then you can play a little bit more. So you double that up. And then it's
to the moon.
It's a snowball effect. Yeah, Lambos, son. All right. Let's talk about Brooklyn and New Orleans. The Brooklyn Nets. Take a guess how many minutes Durant, Irving, and Harden have played together this season.
111.
So last time we spoke, it was 186. And this was like 3 weeks ago. It's still 186.
Yeah. Okay.
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 I say that because I swear the basketball gods are trying to tell us something. I mean, something strange is going on, Josh. Some hocus pocus out there in the Brooklyn area. They played 186. This is all tongue in cheek, by the way, but it has been strange that 186 minutes is nothing. That is, if you're playing 35 minutes per game, That's the equivalent to like five games that they've played together.
Yeah, it's not a lot at all. And the question becomes, does it matter?
If they can't fix it, yeah, it does.
But like, it can't fix it. Like, I'm not worried about Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Kevin Durant coexisting on the floor in the playoffs and like not having
If they can't all stay healthy is what I meant.
Yeah, I think to me that's the only issue. Like, I don't think they're going to have issues integrating with each other. Harris is just going to go out there and shoot 50% from three when those guys are out there. He's going to be like, yeah, I can't wait till they're all out there. No one's going to guard me and I'm going to score at will. So like, it sucks and I want to see it, but I don't care at all if I see it during this entire regular season, if it means that Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden are healthy on the first day of the playoffs. And neither do they.
Neither do I. But I just think it's funny that it's been a lot of games that we've played so far, and they've played about five games together.
Yeah, I know. It sucks. I'd like to see them playing together. It'd be really fun. I'd like to see two of the three of them playing regularly.
Right, and we won't get that tonight. No James Harden. Thanks for that setup. Put it on a tee for me, son.
You're welcome.
No James Harden. No Kevin Durant. They're coming into this one as 2.5-point dogs against the New Orleans Hornets. 233.5-point total.
New Orleans Hornets, eh?
Did I say Hornets?
Yes, you did.
That's solid. Okay.
Been about a decade since that one.
Okay. The New Orleans Pelicans. Charlotte Hornets. But there was a point where they were the New Orleans Hornets, to be clear.
Yeah, I agree.
Wait, actually, that's not true, right?
Yeah, they were.
And that's right. And the Charlotte Pelicans.
No, they were never the Charlotte Pelicans. Tons of Pelicans in Charlotte.
I know. Brooklyn Nets, New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah. New Jersey Nets.
The Jersey Nets, man. Yeah. How about those?
The Swamp Dragons, baby.
Yeah. Do you know what the stadium name is called? The arena name for the Pelicans?
Is it Smoothie King?
Yeah, the Smoothie King Center.
It's like a moth in my office.
Careful, it might get you. All right, what are we doing with the Brooklyn Nets with no Harden, no Durant? Kyrie Irving, five-game slate. Is this just a no-brainer, Kyrie Irving? Plug him in against the Pels, 2.5-point spread. Keep nodding your head there, 233.5-point total. It's hard to get away from that.
Yeah, 9,400 on FanDuel. He's in 49% of optimals for me. I think he's the best play on FanDuel today. He sees monster usage and assist rate bumps when those two guys are off the floor. I've got him at 1.47 FanDuel points per minute for today. He is my number one play, my number one contender. I'm all over Kyrie. I obviously like him quite a bit on DraftKings, but $500 more expensive, positional flexibility. He's still a top five guy to me, but he is not the runaway top play like he is on FanDuel. I love getting to Kyrie, but I don't know how I couldn't.
Did you see Kevin Durant was asked who is the top five players that he ever played with were, and he snubbed Russ?
Is it a snub?
Well, no, because they go,
he's not one of the five best.
Yeah, he is. Yes. Dude, bro, he put Serge Ibaka in there. Will you stop?
Okay, I'm not telling you that his five answers are correct, but
I can't handle you.
Okay. James Harden is one of them, correct?
You're going to put Dre over him, I'm sure, is what you're going
to
do.
We're going to put Steph there too, right? Those two are they have to be there.
Of course.
I would put Kyrie Irving ahead of Russell Westbrook.
So would I.
Okay, that's three. Yes. I would put Klay Thompson ahead of Russell Westbrook.
Fair enough. So did he.
And there you go. Obviously, Draymond Green is five.
So I'm right. Dre is your replacement.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Kevin Durant disagrees. He said, oh, shit, I'm glad that you told me about that. I'm glad you called me out on that because I forgot about Russ. And then he put Russ ahead of Klay and put him number four. Now he put Irving and Harden first and everyone's going, oh, I can't believe he did that. He put him before Steph. It's like, bro, they're on his team. What do you expect them to do? Right? It's just, come on. It's politics.
And they're going to be on the list either way. Like, they're just, it's common sense. That's how it's getting answered.
Right. But Russell Westbrook is a top five player that he's played with.
I don't agree.
You probably wouldn't even put him top six.
I don't even know who the sixth person could be in this scenario.
I don't know. You'd probably put like Nick Collison ahead of him.
He's a really good plus minus guy. I'm trying to think of who it could actually be. Like, I guess Ibaka would be next up, right?
Yeah, it would have to be Ibaka.
It's nobody on Brooklyn.
He knew what he was doing. It was a snub.
It's not a snub.
Well, but it is, though, because he came back and said that Russ is number four.
Yeah, well, that he's just, you know.
He's playing games, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. It's really easy to take Serge Ibaka back off the list.
Oh, Tony says Kendrick Perkins. So that's a good one.
I'm just trying to think of who else he would have played with. Because, like, there's guys, like, he's playing with Blake Griffin now. This current iteration of Blake Griffin isn't very good, but at one point in time he was. Now, he wasn't Russell Westbrook. I'm not trying to say that. But, like, I'm trying to think of who he crossed paths with that was also really good.
He's played with a lot of really good players. Do you think we should be targeting, like, $5,900 Joe Harris today and a few other it's been tough for us to get the Brooklyn players, but this game just features a lot of scoring. It should be up in pace, and two of your big three are down, and there's really not much else out there. LaMarcus Aldridge retired. So when you look at the rest of this player pool for the Brooklyn Nets, you're not looking at a lot of star-studded characters, but someone other than Irving is going to have to do something, Josh.
Yeah, so I think Bruce Brown, 4,800 on FanDuel, 4,900 on DraftKings is probably the second best option. I got him in for 30 minutes. He's like a 0.9 guy. Minutes seem pretty secure. I think Joe Harris, where he's 4,600 on FanDuel, is very, very in play. Where he's 5,900 on DraftKings, very much less so in play. So the Irving, Bruce Brown, Joe Harris trio on FanDuel, I'm all over. I love that three-man combo today. I don't include Joe Harris in that list on the DraftKings side, but I do think you are more likely to be able to get to someone like DeAndre Jordan at 3,900. No idea how many minutes that dude's going to play, but no Nick Claxton today, so it could be some sort of run. I think Landry Shamet for 4,400 on DraftKings is viable. It's not fun, but he's been at 0.86 fantasy points per minute over the last 30 days. He's been playing more. He's been shooting a little bit more frequently. Does see a usage bump when those guys are off the floor. So I think you can sneak your way into some Landry Shamet on the DK side. But Kyrie Irving and Bruce Brown are the clear top two options. And Kyrie on a different planet on FanDuel.
Okay, let me just throw you one more scenario. Guys like Chris Chioza are clearly not big pieces, but just the fact that he's done for however long. And then guys like Nick Claxton, who so many people have taken the bait on over the past couple, not to say that he wasn't viable, but over the past couple of weeks, like with them being sidelined, with Tyler Johnson also remaining out, these have all been rotational pieces that have filled in when guys like Harden and KD were out. Does that affect anyone enough to say, all right, well, they actually are a lot more limited than it might appear. And now, like, how many active players are they going to have today?
They've got a bunch of new dudes that are getting cycled through. Let me pull it up.
I feel like
here.
They only have 9 or 10, Josh.
I think they have at least 10.
So maybe you guys see.
I can give you the answer. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
See what I mean? They don't have a lot of players.
One of those, somebody's missing from that list. Maybe I'm wrong. All right, 9. I projected 9.
We have the DraftKings player pool, which I would suggest you don't go off of that, but that only has 9 in there as well.
I projected 9, but I feel like they have a 10th guy, and I can't remember who they just picked up.
I don't know.
I can't remember his name.
Either way, all I'm saying is 9 bodies is not a lot, especially when.
Reggie Perry's out on health and safety protocol.
Yeah, Reggie totally Perry's forgot. Out as well.
I was picturing Reggie Perry. But he's out for health and safety.
So Chioza, Claxton, Perry, Tyler Johnson, Durant, Harden, all of them are out today. And then Aldridge just retired.
Irving, there we go. Yeah, Irving, Harris, Green, Brown, Shamet, Blake, DeAndre, TLC, and Alizé Johnson are the only active bodies.
That's all they got. So it's worth considering.
Yeah, somebody's going to fall into some minutes here. And that's why, like, for DeAndre Jordan at 3,900, every minute that he gets is like a pretty positive minute for your fantasy outlook.
Yeah, I would think so too. So
especially a matchup against Steven Adams, like that's as far as like guys you have to go up against DeAndre Jordan in a matchup against Steven Adams. That's where you want to play him, however many minutes.
Yep, exactly. And I agree, Jeff. Emac is a good dude. He'll brighten up the day. I think Emac's a genuinely nice person. Me,
yes.
I just pretend to be. You know what I mean?
I don't even pretend.
You don't pretend, right? So there's a real drop off from the three of us.
I'm a very nice person on the Process Show, 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday.
I'm sure you are.
Very true. Very true.
Anything else for Brooklyn?
I don't think so. Kyrie, Bruce Brown, the focus.
All right. And hey, guys, if you enjoy this show, enjoy the content at Awesome. Hit that thumbs up for us. It does help us a ton. What's up with Zion Williamson today? Brandon Ingram, Lonzo, what are we doing with the Pels?
I'll be playing a bunch of Zion on FanDuel because I think he's just really easy to get to. You're either paying up at power forward or you're not going anywhere. So 9,800 on FanDuel, but I'm still in 1.42 fantasy points per minute over the last 30 days. I've got him at 1.34, but I think this matchup just really works. They don't have the bodies to slow him down. Although in the grand scheme of things, I don't know if anybody in the NBA does. The real interesting piece here is sort of the health of the New Orleans Pelicans. Something we want to touch on. No Nikhil Alexander-Walker, but James Johnson is doubtful. And he's been playing a pretty decent chunk of minutes as of late. Najee Marshall's 4,300 on FanDuel. I like that. To me, he shows up in the optimal about 16% of the time. So it's a bit too expensive at 5K on DK, but he's still like a 10%er. Eric Bledsoe's rates are starting to creep up at least a little bit. He's 4,700 on FanDuel, 5,300 on DK. I like him a little bit more on FanDuel. I just generally like the Pelicans more on FanDuel than I do on DraftKings. Although I do kind of have some interest in $5,200 Steven Adams on DK, because I think against Brooklyn, he is in a unique spot to actually have a decent game.
You know, you and I talked a lot about Zion's price point and kind of where it should be over the past couple of weeks, because remember, he hit 10K for the first time in his young career. You mentioned that you like more on FanDuel for the Pels than on DraftKings. What do you anticipate having of Zion at 9,700 tonight on DraftKings?
Showed up in the optimal 16% of the time. We don't have ownership yet. Let me check and see where that actually ranks.
Because last game in that 10-point loss to the Knicks, it was an overtime game. He played 42 minutes, or 37 minutes in regulation. So it's very nice to see that Zion in competitive games is going to get that superstar caliber run that we need from him. I would say that's the biggest thing that was missing from him early on. What did you just do?
Sneezed.
Oh, okay. There's a mute button.
I did. I hit it. I got out of there, I thought. I thought I muted it. Did anybody hear me sneeze?
No, you're
good. Okay, we're good to go. Yeah, I'm a pro, man.
Zion on DraftKings.
Zion on DraftKings, I have ranked 19th overall. So depending on ownership, probably somewhere in the like 15 to 20% range.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's keep moving then.
I like he's just good. And this is a really nice matchup. They don't like he's one of the best offensive players in basketball right now at however old he is, 21, 22. He's just good. Just play him. You won't regret it.
Top plays from this game.
Zion, Kyrie Irving on FanDuel is on a tier of his own. Zion on FanDuel would be second. And then I would say that Bruce Brown is third, clear across both sites. Happy to go there.
Two more to go. Clippers, Portland, Minnesota, Sacramento, the LA Clippers coming into Portland, 7-point favorites, 224 total. They'll be facing a Lillard-less Trailblazers team. But let's kick it off with the road team and the Clippers. Still no Ibaka, still no Beverly, but that's all we're dealing with here. George and Kawhi Leonard are back in action. Talk to me about the Clippers.
Play Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and then play no one else. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Kawhi's 9,900 on FanDuel, 9,200 on DraftKings. I think he is the best Clipper option if he's playing. Paul George is 9K on FanDuel, a little bit overpriced on DK now at 9,400. So I'm not super interested there. I don't recommend anybody else. Only Reggie Jackson gets to 5% optimal on either FanDuel or DK. They're not a great DFS team. And if Kawhi and Paul George are in, all of that additional usage that comes when one of those guys are out just gets soaked up. So I don't anticipate having anybody from the Clippers until one of Kawhi and Paul George inevitably get ruled out.
After lock or close to it. Yeah,
exactly.
Probably won't have that news. The Blazers, it gets a little bit more interesting because Lillard has been out for a few games now. This will be his third. Yeah. I actually was, when I was prepping for today's show, I wanted to talk to you about this CJ McCollum spot because it has been over the past, let's say what, like 1.5 seasons. It's hard. I have a very difficult time being able to put last season together, Josh, because it feels like two separate seasons. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I'm totally lost on it right now. Like, okay. I got our tweet from a year ago today where we were talking about like the first two episodes of The Last Dance and stuff on the show. And it's like, oh my, that feels like more than a year ago.
Crazy, right? So when I look at the bubble and then the postseason, that feels like a totally different season to me than the one prior to that. And I have such a tough time being like mentally, I can't, my brain can't draw the connection between the two. So I don't remember if it was bubble or prior to that when Lillard was out. Shit, I don't even remember if it was earlier this year at this point, because the end of the last season was so close to the start of this season.
Yeah.
Anyway, McCollum without Lillard hasn't been the player that many of us remembered him to be a couple of years ago, or maybe last season in the beginning. You get the point.
Definitely sometime in the last 18 months.
Exactly. Should that be something that we're worried about here as his price continues to rise, or we just go straight back to CJ McCollum, bite the bullet and say, listen, this is a good player. Dame is the highest usage player, highest assist rate player on the team. You just have to go with what we know, and CJ McCollum has to be on the list tonight.
So on FanDuel, where CJ's 8,100, he's the number
That's
two
a no-brainer.
He's the number two player of the day. He's just barely behind Kyrie. You're locking and loading. He's playing 38 minutes a game. He gets increased usage, increased assist rates, no-brainer.
I was more so referring to 8,900 because he's up there real close to some of the elites on this
thing. So I have him 13th on DraftKings overall. So I still like him, but he's not the rubber stamp lock button type guy.
That's
but
the
he still
answer
looks
I was
really
expecting,
good.
Honestly, yeah.
The rest of Portland, though, on the other hand, I like more than CJ. Enes Kanter, 6,100. There's no Yusuf Nurkic today. I expect him to play 30 minutes. Should look really good. A double-double threat pretty easily. Norm Powell, 6,400 on DraftKings. He's a little bit different than Gary Trent. They made this swap at the trade deadline, but Norm Powell is more of a usage guy. And I do think that slightly hurts CJ. It's different if Gary Trent's like, Norm Powell is going to have more usage than Gary Trent did. So when Dame is out, it is going a little bit elsewhere. But I like Norm Powell quite a bit on DraftKings at 6,400. And then we saw Anthony Simons get big minutes in both games with Dame Lillard out so far. He's 3,700 on FanDuel, 3,800 on DraftKings. I gave him 28 minutes, but he has played 30 minutes. Now, he's not a great per-minute guy, 0.75, 0.8, somewhere in that neighborhood. But those four guys I like on both sites. In particular on DraftKings, but CJ is a standout option on FanDuel. At 8,100, I think that he is a blindly just put him in your lineup play.
There's no way to get away from it. On DraftKings, though, he's 89, and then there's just a lot of really other good players that are similarly priced. And that's why I think 13th makes sense. Five-game slate, I thought you might have him a little bit higher than that, but I didn't think he'd be popping up as this, you know, elite priority that we've considered him in the past when Damian Lillard was out. We would have paid this for him easy on a five gamer, Josh. Easy. Yeah. Like,
so Trae Young is $100 more expensive. I have them dead equal today.
Yeah.
And then we get Kawhi $300 more expensive. I have CJ and Trae Young a step ahead of Kawhi. Okay. And then Capella at 9,100 is fourth in that group.
So I'm wondering, actually, I'm not wondering anything. I pretty much already know. And we can take it to Minnesota and Sacramento here and get to the final top tier options on the slate like Karl Anthony Towns and De'Aaron Fox. But before we do, remember all of our shows available in podcast form. You want to check them out on Apple Podcasts. You want to check them out on do we still do Stitcher? I don't know. I think we do Spotify, all of that stuff. You can pretty much find them anywhere. Let's hit the Hall of Fame, Jordan. Jordan Klein producing today's show. It's always fun to take a look at the winners with the Awesomeo avatars, who use the tools and use the free videos as well. And also, of course, win their free month of Awesomeo Plus, $100 value. All you have to do, if you want to do that, download the Awesomeo avatar at awesomeo.com/avatar. It's right on the screen. Tweet your wins at Awesomeo Hall of Fame. Be sure to mention Josh and myself as well, because I like to see when you guys win. And you win a free month of Awesomeo Plus Platinum if you place top three in a field of 5,000 people or more. Somebody just did this with a $65 win. It was in the quarter jukebox showdown or something, where it was a quarter to enter. There were 7,100 people. They chopped first place for $65 and won a subscription that was worth more than they won. That's awesome. So,
yeah.
You know, like, Josh.
Hell of an ROI, too.
Yeah, you don't have to play it. You don't have to look at this as, oh, I can't win a free month unless it's top three in a field of 5,000 where the entry is $100.
No, you can get in for a quarter. Like, I mean, they have the nickel contest on FanDuel. You can get into that. It's huge. And if you win if you're in top three in the nickel on FanDuel, there's like 200,000 entries. That's probably, if you're in the top three, let's just say you win the nickel on FanDuel. You probably have the best lineup of anybody in the entire slate.
Yeah. Yep. It's amazing. So we had a couple great wins. Here's one. Merck 1-2-3 with the $40 win first place. The piggy bank shot.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the nickel.
Yeah, that's nickel. So he took first place, but I'm pretty certain that that's a lot of people in there.
It's over 200,000, I think.
Yeah, I don't know about that one for $40 to first place. It might have been a smaller one, but still, the fact remains. And
let me see.
Our boy Steve Buzzard, the Colts, he does a ton of work at Awesome. We came onto the team maybe a year ago, and he's just one of the best DFS players I've ever seen. I say that with sincerity. Yeah. And he does the office hours in our Slack chat. You'll see him on videos sometimes. He works on the projections and ownership along with Alex and Sean. And he took down 67,500, and he took third place in that MMA contest the other day. Look at that distribution of lineups, though, Josh. It's just like that's how you get it done. That's how you.
By the way, piggy bank shot today on FanDuel, nickel entries, 287,000 entries.
That's crazy.
First place is $600. If you win that contest, you undoubtedly have the best lineup on all of FanDuel for that day.
Crazy. It's crazy.
And if you don't have the best lineup on FanDuel of all that day, like, what in the world happened elsewhere?
Something went wrong. But we'd love to put you up here. It doesn't matter if it's a piggy bank quarter entry, if it's a Thunderdome, whatever it is, put yourself up here. And it doesn't have to just be that you're winning a free month. Yeah. We want you to win a free month, but otherwise, doesn't matter. And if you haven't checked the tools out that everyone uses at Awesomeo to win this money, to place, to see the avatars everywhere, go to awesomeo.com/join. And I believe, before we get to this last game, that we still have a promo running for UFC. So
we do. UFC 261, yep. Still running, yeah.
UFC 261.
Up until Saturday.
Yep, till Saturday. 50% off our MMA monthly subscription. So everything you want for MMA, half off. And Josh made a good point last week that you're getting two pay-per-view contests. Like, if you were to get this today, you're not just getting the was it Usman Masvidal?
Yes.
You're not just getting that. You're getting the pay-per-view in May as well, including all of the other events and cards that take place in between that. So jump on this. Seriously, it's 15. Yeah. It's less than $15 for 30 days. You're talking ownership, player fighter projections, the top fighter tool, all of our premium articles, all of that stuff at awesomeo.com. And if you want to check out the other subscriptions, go to awesomeo.com/join. You can do monthly, annual. You can do a weekly pass for less than $4 a week. Whatever you want, we got you covered. Like I said, maybe you're a lower volume player. We have you there. If you want to make a true investment, you can do all access, monthly, annual, whatever. I'll stop talking. You know how it works. Go to awesomeo.com/join. And don't forget, change that avatar to Awesomeo. Win some free stuff along the way. All right, Josh, Minnesota, Sacramento. Let's wrap this one up. Highest total on the slate, 238.5. Timberwolves, only 3.5-point dogs. The Kings have been losing left and right lately. I mean, this team just keeps dropping game after game. But De'Aaron Fox is running 38, 40 minutes every night. Karl Anthony Towns is probably going to smoke a Rashawn Holmes-less front court today. I mean, there's a lot to talk about here. So let's dive in. I'll turn it over to you with the Timberwolves.
So both of these teams are terrible, but this is a perfect DFS game. Sacramento's defense is bad. Minnesota's defense is bad. Minnesota plays at an incredibly fast pace. I'm going to be naming a lot of guys here, but I have a trio that stands out for both sites. Jaden McDaniels, Karl Anthony Towns, and Anthony Edwards. They're all about 20%ers on FanDuel, very highly ranked for me across the board. Don't really have a preference between all three, depending on what salary tier you need. Like, McDaniels is 4,200, Edwards 7,100, Karl Anthony Towns 10,800. I like all of them equally, depending on how much salary you still have left. They all look good on FanDuel and on DK. Now, I think D'Angelo Russell for 6K on DraftKings, you at least need to pay a little bit of attention to him. He shows up in the optimal for me 18% of the time. I have no idea how many minutes this guy is going to play. It doesn't appear that they're really ramping him up all that much. But there, to me, there's going to be a time where he falls into 28, 29 minutes. And I'd like to be there. And if that's against Sacramento, like, I don't like D'Angelo Russell, but he's a good shooter. If he gets hot, he's going to keep shooting. I see no reason that he can't be hot shooting against a terrible Sacramento team. So I actually do like the idea of getting to a little bit of Russell on DraftKings, a little bit less so on FanDuel. But I think you could even, like, if Karl Anthony Towns picks up a ton of ownership, I think you could potentially get to Naz Reid in large field GPPs. On the off chance that something isn't going well for Towns, Reid would be the guy that soaks that up a little bit more. But McDaniels, Towns, Edwards, these are all 20% type guys. I mean, we're talking, like, legitimate core pieces of lineups today.
Yeah, and a legitimate, fantastic matchup as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're not asking for much more when you're taking on the Sacramento Kings. Kings dead last in defensive efficiency. Dead last by more than a point.
117.5 defensive rating. The Blazers are 29th at 115.9. That's crazy this late into the season.
Yeah, and Minnesota is the third worst. So yep. Not a lot of defense going on in this bad boy.
Kings are a ninth fastest paced team as well. So
yeah. I've got Minnesota second overall.
In pace?
Yeah.
Okay. I have them fourth, but it doesn't matter because it's just such a small marginal difference.
And what that means is just Minnesota's been playing faster recently.
Oh, right, because you waited for recent gotcha, yeah.
So they are playing faster now.
Either way, two fast-paced teams. The only thing I don't like is since D'Angelo Russell returned on the 5th of April, and I get what you're saying, he's a gunner. If he starts knocking him down against the Kings, he's going to keep shooting, maybe get some extra minutes. If he were to get 26 minutes, it's very possible that you could be okay with that. Yeah. He's averaging 24 minutes since he returned on the 5th of April. That's 6th on the team. I mean, he's behind Ricky Rubio in minutes.
Yeah, I'm just I mean, look, I think that tells you that he's not like super duper healthy because they obviously have nothing to play for. They suck. It doesn't really matter. They don't even control their own destiny for the pick in general, but they want to be as bad as possible because that keeps the protection far enough back. If they fall to like second worst, third worst, fourth worst, then it's much more likely that the pick is just going to go to Golden State. But for Russell, like it hasn't been good. He hasn't really been shooting all that well. If he like the game against Boston, I think would be the one you're looking for. He played 29 minutes. If he can get to 29 minutes, he had 43 and a half fantasy points. That's going to be in the winning lineup if he goes for 43 fantasy points at 6K today.
Sure. Where do you rank? Actually, you know what? I said I'd save it till the end and I didn't forget. Sacramento Kings. Let's close this one out. And then I'll ask you how you're spending your holiday. I know you don't have a show tonight. So
what are you doing
with De'Aaron Fox? His price is up there, but I've mentioned it throughout the show. 39 minutes, 39, 40, 40, 37. If this is a close game, and Vegas has it as a 3.5-point spread, De'Aaron Fox could legitimately play 40 minutes in regulation again tonight. And that's a pretty big factor. He's been putting up some big games, high usage guy. Assist rate isn't necessarily elite, but it's around the 30% range. I can live with that. Not a great rebounder, but if he gives you a couple steals along the way, you can get away with it. But 9,800 starts to scare me a little bit, Josh. Maybe you can talk me in or out of it because – it's a good matchup, high total, fast-paced game. But, dude, he's almost 10K on DraftKings.
He's a top-five play on both sites, 9,900, 9,800. Love him. 1.33 fantasy points per minute over the last 30 days. I got him in for 38 minutes, and there is upside to that number. This is as good of a matchup as they're going to find. Huge pace-up spot for Sacramento. Terrible Minnesota defense. He should just run all over Minnesota. I don't know how – unquestionably, De'Aaron Fox is one of the best plays of the day. You should lock and load him as much as you can. Love him. But we're not stopping there. Harrison Barnes is 6K on FanDuel. Now, he's not a great per minute guy, but he certainly plays a shit ton of minutes. I got him in for 38 as well. Looks like an outstanding play at a small forward spot. It is small forward, right? Small forward or power forward?
For who, Barnes?
No, Barnes, power forward now. Just small forward for so long.
DraftKings, he's both. Yeah, sorry.
So there are basically four power forwards you could play today on FanDuel, and that's it. You can play Harrison Barnes at 6K, Zion Williamson and Julius Randle are in the nines, Jaden McDaniels at 4,200. After that, the guys that I have in order of ranking, are you ready for this? Blake Griffin, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who I didn't know was active in the league right now, Chuma Okeke, Robert Covington, the other McDaniels, John Collins at 7,200. Like, there's nothing else here at power forward. You're playing Barnes, Williams, and Randall and McDaniels, and that is it to me. So I really like Harrison Barnes on FanDuel, but that's not limited to FanDuel. I still like him on DK. And then we start crossing our fingers and trying to wonder, what is Hassan Whiteside going to do today? 5,400 on FanDuel, 5,800 on DK, and he can play any amount of minutes, and I would believe it.
Well, last game, he started. Now, he didn't play a single minute in the fourth quarter, okay? That rotation, for the most part, was Harrison Barnes, Mo Harkless in no specific order, De'Aaron Fox, DeLon Wright, and Terrence Davis. Hassan Whiteside played almost 8 minutes in this first rotation in the first quarter, picked up a foul, returns to start the second quarter, boom, two fouls in 2 minutes, doesn't return for the rest of the quarter. So is it possible that even if Hassan Whiteside didn't play the fourth quarter and is not Luke Walton's closer, that had he not gotten an early foul trouble, he could have played another 24, 25 minutes. I think the answer to that is a resounding yes. The problem is, do we want to pay almost $6,000 for him? That is a lot tougher of a conversation to have. You get them off?
I did, actually, but I didn't squeeze hard enough, I guess. I left him alive. Yeah, that's fine. I'll eat it if it helps. I don't want it to go to waste. I don't want to take a life.
Yeah. Remember Grown Ups? No? Never seen that movie?
Not since it came out. That's really? When I realized I didn't need to see those movies.
Oh, dude, Adam Sandler is one of my favorites. I love that people hate him.
I love Adam Sandler, but I don't need it now.
Grown Ups is great. What's that, Jordan? Yes, and then the moth was on the bacon. Yeah, yeah. And then Grown Ups too had like Shaq in it, and it had all these famous people. It was the worst movie, but then every time I watch it because it's on Comedy Central every day, pretty good.
I gave Whiteside 22 minutes. I'm in for some Whiteside at that number, but I'm also like
at on 5,800.
Yeah.
Okay.
On DraftKings, I'm in for a lot of this stuff. Like, I think Mo Harkless at 3,600 works for decent filler. Buddy Hield, Tyrese Halliburton, DeLon Wright. I think you can get to any one of these guys just because of how good of a matchup it is. And on FanDuel, like $5,200 Halliburton minutes have been weird, but I can't just like not have him. Buddy Hield still playing big minutes. Mo Harkless, $100 above the minimum. There are six legitimate plays, seven on DraftKings, but six legitimate plays on both sites for Sacramento today just because of how good of a matchup it is. But it is absolutely led by De'Aaron Fox. By the way, Stephen Leibowitz before. All hail the barnacle.
That dude, barnacle of the Bay, baby. And our producer, Jordan Klein, says we need a high before lock tonight show. That would be good. That'd be good for you, Jazz.
No, I don't want to be on the show tonight.
No, that'd be difficult. So
we have leftover pulled pork that we made from this weekend. Oh, good. I'm going to eat like 27 pork sandwiches.
Oh, that's great. Put some barbecue on and barbecue sauce.
Eastern North Carolina style, baby.
Oh, okay. All right. Top plays from the top tier is the question I wanted to ask you. And I think it's a relatively important one today because you have Towns in a good spot. Randall against Charlotte, Irving with no Durant and Harden, De'Aaron Fox, almost 10K, Zion against Brooklyn. And, you know, you can even go down to the Trae Youngs and the McCollums in that 9K range. What do you say?
So Kyrie Irving to me is the best play of the slate. FanDuel, DraftKings, doesn't matter. That's the guy you should be getting to most. I think De'Aaron Fox would be second on DraftKings and second on FanDuel. Although that's mostly because I'm not counting CJ McCollum at 8,100 as an expensive play. He's the 11th most expensive guy on FanDuel. So McCollum would be my two. But if we're talking about guys, you know, 9K or more, Kyrie Irving is at the top of the heap. De'Aaron Fox is my number two.
Beautiful. What are you going to do tonight? 420.
Same thing I do pretty much every night, I guess.
No changes, huh?
Just now, it's just more of it, I guess. I'll probably eat like a few gummy bears. It'll be a good time.
I saw someone in chat say, I want to be paralyzed by 4 o'clock. So, yeah. I mean, that's the sentiment you're getting from, I don't know where it is. It was DFS Chief somewhere. It was something to that extent. But
yeah. Anger just said, I'll be looking like Paul Pierce tonight.
Have fun today, guys. We'll see you back here soon. It is the NBA Strategy Show presented by No House Advantage. Thanks for hanging out as always.